It's now time for worship with the Family Circle of Souls Harbor. We invite you, your family, and your friends in this next hour to worship with Pastor Rick Libby and the Souls Harbor Singers as they lead you in the songs of the church and in the sharing of God's Word.
For all of the problems of life, the answer is
good morning, friends. What a wonderful joy it is today for us to be able to return and share another Souls Harbor worship service with you. I'm Pastor Rick Libby. I'm the senior pastor of the Souls Harbor Ministry. It's my privilege to welcome you into this service. I want to encourage you to open up to receive everything that God has prepared for you through this service today. We have come with two objectives. Our first objective is to reach out to the individual who is not yet fully convinced that they want to be saved. Maybe you've been thinking about it, but you just haven't come to a place where you've asked God to come in. I hope that before this service comes to a conclusion, that you will be thoroughly convinced and that you will ask God to come to your life. The second thing that we want to do today is we want to encourage those that are struggling with things that have come upon your life. Maybe you're a child of God, and yet there are some hardships that you're going through, and you need some encouragement today so that you can know that God knows where you're at, knows what you're going through, and is coming today to help you in the midst of those things. Let me remind you of something that God's Word tells us. The Bible tells us in the book of Ephesians that we have been saved by grace. It's not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. We're speaking about God's unmerited favor today. All men are able to receive the grace of God. So why don't you receive it? While Hope Trio is coming to sing this first song, that simply says to us, there is nothing greater than grace.
What do you say to someone who feels like they've lost it all? Over the edge with no one there to break their fall. And what do you say to someone who feels so unloved, giving themselves away a little bit every day just to be good enough?
And what do you say to a hopeless soul who can't remember their way home and everything is out of their control?
There is no valley, there is no darkness, there is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through.
So before you think that you're too lost to save, remember
there is nothing greater than grace.
What do you say to someone whose life is on the line, and they're unsure what happens after their last breath and time?
And what do you say to someone who's built a wall you can't break through, and it's so hard for them to hear the truth?
There is no valley, there is no darkness,
There is no sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through.
So before you think that you're too lost to save, remember
there is nothing greater than grace. Don't lose heart, don't let go, don't give up. Sorrow greater than the grace of Jesus. There is no moment, there is no distance, there is no heartbreak He can't take you through. So before you think that you're too lost to save,
so before you think that you're too
nothing greater than grace.
Greater than grace.
It is extremely humbling today to think about how that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, would leave His throne room in glory to come to such a place as this earth. When you think about all that He would endure in His coming, and then you think about the reasons for His coming, something just doesn't seem to add up. You see, very simply today, you and I are the reason that He came. I can't speak for you, but I can speak for myself today. I was not worthy to receive such a one as Jesus. I certainly was not worthy of Him to endure the journey to Calvary's Hill so that I would not have to die for my sins. I'm thankful today that Jesus loved me enough that He was willing to come. I'm thankful today that He loved you enough that He was willing to come. He set our worthiness aside and saw our need. Today there's a song that I find myself singing quite often when I get to thinking about His coming. And it simply is a song that evangelist Jonathan Garlock is going to come and share with us today. You think about it while you listen to the words of this song. When He reached down His hand for me, we were lost and undone. Oh, my friend, the places that He found us when He reached down to touch us with His love, His grace, and His mercy. Let this song minister to your heart as evangelist Jonathan Garlock comes to sing, When He Reached Down His Hand for Me.
Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, I was wretched, I was vile as could be. Then my Savior in love gave me peace from above. When He reached down His hand
for me. When the Savior reached down for me, he had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son. Then He reached down His hand for me. I was nearing despair when He came to me there, and He told me that I could be free. Then He lifted my feet, gave me glory complete. I'm glad He reached down His hand for me. When the Savior reached down for me, He had to reach way down for me. I was lost and undone without God or His Son. When Jesus reached down His hand for me, I was lost, I was undone without God or His Son. Jesus reached down His hand for me.
I think it needs to be said today that salvation is the initiation of the work of grace in our lives. It's at that point where we receive salvation that we begin this wonderful journey with God, where we can have God minister to our lives freely, without reservation and without limitation. In other words, as a child of God, we can enjoy all of heaven's blessings at work within us. In this journey that we're traveling today, there are going to be many encounters where we are going to need God to work on our behalf. There are just going to be things in our life that we will not have the strength nor the ability to overcome within ourselves. And yet, because we belong to God, God reaches down and does some very wonderful things for us that delivers us from the troubles that we may find ourselves in. It's through His grace that He continually and continuously works, and in His works we receive miracle after miracle. Now, there may be times when an unsaved person will be benefited from something that God does. But you can never freely unlock the miracles of heaven until you enter in through salvation. Once you are saved and belong to God, that changes everything. Don't live on the outside looking in. But friend, today, enjoy what it is to be a child of God by trusting God to meet your every need. Today we are a needy people, aren't we? There are so many things represented in our audience today that we need God and His unlimited miracle-working ability to do in our lives, because without Him, there's nothing that can be done. So today, let's do what God has instructed us to do. As His children, let's walk boldly into the Father's throne room and ask Him for His help. Would you pray with me today? Heavenly Father, we first of all want to thank You for Your amazing grace. Lord, I don't know how else to describe it except to say that it is amazing, because, Lord, it continually and consistently does amaze us. And we thank You for it today. Lord, I pray that as I bring this audience before You, that You will work through Your grace today to deliver to them the supply of everything that they have need of. Lord, if it's a need of healing in their body, I pray that the great physician would reach down to touch them with healing. If it's deliverance in some domestic need of their lives, I pray that, God, You will be whatever they need You to be to help them in the midst of whatever it is that they're going through. Lord, if it's a spiritual battle today, I pray that You would speak the word to cause that enemy to flee, that Your child could be at peace and know that, God, You've dealt with all things and that they belong to You. There is nothing to fear. Lord, I can't begin to imagine all of the things and all of the ways that we might need You today, but I know this: You are the great I Am of our lives. Whatever we need You to be, You will be in order to help us. So, Lord, we thank You today. We've asked You all of these things in Jesus' name, and now we trust, Lord, that these things will be done. We thank You for them. Amen.
Red can't explain the beauty of the rose. White can't tell the magic in the air when it snows. Marvelous can't half convey the grace of our King. The only word for grace is amazing.
There's no
other word for grace but amazing. No other explanation will do. Unmerited favor, the song that I sing. No other word for grace but amazing.
Now the Father looked beyond all the failures I had made. He didn't seem to notice all the times I'd not obeyed. He overlooked all the scars of sin I held in me, and grace that He showed, well, it still amazes me.
There's no other word for grace but amazing. No other explanation will do. Unmerited favor, the song that I sing. No other word for grace. There's no other word for grace.
There's just no other word for grace
but amazing.
Over the course of my life, I have watched so many people come to God. I've watched how the grace of God has reached down into what I consider to be horrible situations, where in the estimation of mankind, we would have deemed that those people in that situation were too far gone for God to reach down and help. And yet, in that disbelief, we have had to stand there and watch the grace of God work, a marvelous work. The things that he did through his grace were beyond what man would have ever been able to believe if he hadn't seen it with his own eyes. But you see, that's how the grace of God does. You can't begin to determine today what can be done until after the grace of God has done its work. Today, there's a beautiful song that Ken and Annette McDonald are coming to sing. Today, I hope that you'll listen to the words of this song. It's entitled, A Moment of Grace. Today, you can't begin to determine what will be the result of just one moment of being exposed to the grace of God. Today, don't underestimate its value. Don't underestimate its power. The grace of God is still doing some amazing things even today. Listen to the words of this song as the McDonald's come and share them with us. A Moment of Grace.
She was down on her knees, she would never get free. Her accusers had stones in their hands. They turned to Jesus just to see what he'd say, but the Lord just wrote in the sand. They all walked away when they heard him say, let the sin free cast the first stone. With tears on her face, all her sin was erased, and she stood in a moment of grace. Now the thief on the cross knew that his life was lost. He must pay for the crimes of his past. He had done nothing right. He would sure lose his fight. His time was running out fast. Then he took his last shot, said to Jesus, why not? Remember me when you reach heaven's gate. Jesus forgave and all his sin was erased, and he died in a moment of grace. A moment of grace, undeserved favor, unspeakable joy. My soul found an anchor, unmerited love and mercy that swept my soul away. He called my name, everything changed in a moment of grace. I've been counted out by the self-righteous crowd who would say that I'm not worthy to live. They say you've drifted too far, you're so stuck in sin's mire, you need a miracle that only God can give. But Jesus passed by, and with his reply, he said, I choose you, just live for me today. And Jesus forgave, and all my sin was erased, and I stood in a moment of grace. A moment of grace, undeserved favor, unspeakable joy. My soul found an anchor, unmerited love and mercy that swept my soul away. He called
called my name, everything changed in a moment of grace. A moment of grace, undeserved favor, unspeakable joy. My soul found an anchor, unmerited love and mercy that swept my soul away. He called my name, everything changed in a moment of grace. He called my name, everything changed in a moment of grace. A moment of grace.
We have come to that time in our service today where we need to take a few moments to talk to you about the finances of the Souls Harbor Ministry. For those who may not be aware of it, we are purely a television ministry. What that means is that our only means of support to take care of the expenses of airing this ministry each week is you, our viewing audience. It's through your free will offerings today that we are able to come each week to share with you a worship service. If not for your giving, then we cannot remain here to do what we do because we have no way of taking care of the many expenses associated with producing a weekly worship service here on television. So each week we stop and we ask you, if you would, to please prayerfully consider doing something to help us by way of a contribution so that we can continue to do what we do. Now, I want to give you our contact information. We're just going to trust the Lord. We have been praying, and today we're just going to exercise some faith that as we share with you our need, that God is going to speak to some hearts and you will respond and get in touch with us this week. So here's our contact information so that you can do that. Just contact the appropriate address or telephone number and you'll be able to get a contribution to the ministry of Souls Harbor. In the U.S., you would write to Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 275, Corinth, Maine, 04427. To make a contribution by MasterCard, Visa, or Discover Card, you would call our U.S. office at 207-285-3131. Also, in the U.S., you can make a contribution online by clicking on the Donate button at our website. That address is www.soulsharbor.tv. In Canada, you can help us with our Canadian expenses by contacting our Canadian office at Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 611, Centerville, New Brunswick, E7K3H5. To make a contribution by MasterCard, Visa, or Discover Card, please call our Canadian office at 506-276-3551. I want to thank you for anything and everything you do to help us. I know I say that each week, but I say it because it's true. We do appreciate what you do on behalf of this ministry. We've been able to come each and every week to share with you a service because of your benevolence, your generosity, your contributions. We thank you for that today. We do appreciate it and ask God to return upon your life a blessing for what you have done to bless this ministry today. So I thank you for everything that you have done to help us. As we return to the order of our worship service today, I'm going to go over and sing what is perhaps the most familiar hymn of all the church. Most anybody, even non-church people, can sing this song. So we encourage you to sing it along with me today as I go over and sing a song that lends itself to everything else that we have talked about and sung about in this service thus far. I'm going over to sing a song that's entitled Amazing Grace. Have you ever heard it before? I think you have. If I understand my research right, when I look up the history of this song, there were originally somewhere around 26 verses written to this song. Now, of course, it would take us the whole worship service if we were to sing every verse, but think about this if you would. When you're singing the song of Amazing Grace, you are singing about everybody's testimony. When you consider that, there would not just be 26 verses written to this old hymn, but there would be a multitude of millions, because every person that's ever been touched by the grace of God would have a story to tell. And those stories are still being written even today. Before this day is through, there'll be a few more thousand stories added to this song's message today. Well, if you know it, why don't you sing it along with me today? That great old song of the church, Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, oh, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace all my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first through many dangers, toils, and countless snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace that has brought me safe thus far, and that same grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun,
what we've already said in this service today, I can't begin to imagine where we would be if it wasn't for the grace of God. How could we have ever come to know God unless God took the first step in coming to us? When He comes to us, He comes with a mindset and a heart set of giving to us what we could never obtain on our own. It is through the grace of God. That's what we've been trying to say in this service from the very beginning, that God has come to us to share His grace, and in His grace we obtain everything that we have need of in our lives. Now, I know that's a pretty big statement to make, that we have everything that we have need of. But you see, this isn't original to me. I'm not the one saying this. I'm simply repeating what I have read in the Word of God. Would you take your Bibles and turn with me today to the second epistle of Corinthians. Here we want to read something that Paul says about the grace of God to broaden our understanding of just what God's grace is able to and willing to do for us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm going to draw our attention to verse 9, but I really want to start reading at verse 7 because there's something being said in these prior verses that I believe we need to meditate on after we have come to the conclusion of today's service. It says, beginning in verse 7 of chapter 12, "Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Take note of what Paul is saying here in verse 9. Very simply, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, what Paul is really helping us to understand here is that God has provided for us everything that we will ever need. We do not buy or purchase with our deeds, our acts, our silver or our gold, the good things of God. We are receiving things from heaven today because of the unmerited favor of God. I want to remind you one more time in this service today what that expression unmerited favor means is that we didn't deserve it. There was no way humanly possible to obtain it. But God, out of the goodness, the love, the compassion of His own heart, gives to us what we have need of, regardless of our position. Today, I would remind you one more time that we are saved by grace, and only through grace. If you think you can live long enough to work hard enough to receive the good things of God, you are sadly mistaken, and pardon me for the way I'm going to say this, but you are ignorant of God's Word. God's Word helps us to realize today that it's not through the works of the flesh that we are saved. We are saved through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The only way that that shed blood can cover the guiltiness, the stain of sin in our lives, is that God giveth us grace. The first thing that grace does is that it separates us from our sin. That means that God comes down through His grace and He applies the blood of Jesus upon our lives, and it's through the blood of Jesus that God no longer sees our sin. Now, if that's all the grace of God did, that would be enough. But God, who understands our human frailty, knows that we need more than just the gift of salvation if we're going to survive this world of sin that we're living in today. See, it needs to be understood one more time that sin destroys everything that it touches. If you leave sin alone, sin will just keep eating away and eating away and eating away until everything that it touches has been destroyed by its effect upon that life. Even the most innocent of us today will be affected by the presence of sin in our world. Maybe you didn't do anything to deserve the thing that has come your way. Maybe you didn't have illicit behavior that invited the trouble that has come to come. But it has come, and it came to your life to touch you, even though you were innocent of anything wrong. Maybe you've had a pure heart. Maybe you've had a clean conscience. Maybe you've lived a moral, ethical, high-principled life. But in this world of sin being all around us today, it is inevitable that we will be touched by these things. And so we need the grace of God to come and help us when this world has touched our lives. Today, I can't predict what will happen in my journey. I can set my mind to a goal and live according to what I have to do to reach that goal, but I can never be aware of the things that will come and press in against me. That's one of the reasons why I wanted you to read the first two verses that we read, verse 7 and 8 of 2 Corinthians 12. Paul the apostle, this man that God had chosen to help establish the foundation of the church, who had been given so much of the New Testament to write so that we could hear from God and know what God wanted us to hear. This man, Paul, says, I have a thorn in the flesh. The essence of what he's saying is, this thing has come to me and I can't get rid of it. It is always there. And what he was saying is it doesn't destroy me completely. It just is there to constantly aggravate, frustrate. It's there to try to distract me. It's there to trouble me. And there are things in life that are just that way today. So we depend upon the grace of God to help us with those things. That's what Paul is saying here, is that not just for salvation, but for the very things of life, we need God's grace. God's grace is what we have need of for every need of our lives. But also, Paul is helping us to realize here, when he uses the word sufficient, he's saying that the grace of God will never be exhausted. You can never run out of the grace of God. How many times has the grace of God come to our lives and touched us when we still were not deserving of what God has done? Now, I know God is a benevolent God. If God ever decided to give us only what we deserved and what we had earned, our lives would be sadly impoverished today. But you see, God knows that we're human. He understands the human weakness that brings us to places in our lives where we fail and at times miserably fail. What that means is we went beyond just failing. We did some horrendous things that we knew we shouldn't have done, but we didn't let our conscience guide us, and we went out and we gave in to the appetite of the flesh, and we did something that has brought guilt and shame upon us. And every time we think about it, even though time has gone by now, we still feel that twinge within our heart of what we did. And we pray that God will keep it buried deep beneath the blood of Jesus Christ, that no man would know. And you see, God's grace does that for us. But there's no exhausting the grace of God. It's not a one-time experience in our lives. The grace of God comes to us as many times as we've needed. I would dare say in our lives today that we have experienced the grace of God millions of times. Times when we didn't know that God was operating through His grace. We didn't stop to ask for forgiveness once again. We may not even have realized that what we did was wrong and offensive to God. But God overlooked that to bring His grace to help us to get to the next step, to reach the next level. God helps us repeatedly, over and over and over again, despite our own track record, despite our miserable failures. God brings a sufficiency. In other words, He brings an adequate amount, always an adequate amount. It doesn't matter that God has immeasurable grace. We just need enough grace today to help us with today. Tomorrow we'll need more grace. And thankfully, when tomorrow comes and we need more grace will be available to us. Oh, I know time is quickly passing and I'm running out, but I got to stop long enough to tell you that the grace of God that supplies our every need, that grace that can never be exhausted, is also a strengthening grace to us. In other words, the grace of God works strength into our lives. How many of us today are stronger than we were when we first came to God? When we first left that life of sin behind us, isn't it true that all those temptations that had been so strong in our lives still had some grip on us, and we found ourselves wrestling with things that we knew we shouldn't do, that we shouldn't partake of, but the weakness of our flesh just wasn't strong enough for us to deny it, and we went back, and we went back, and we went back. But today, those things have no effect on us. Why? Because through the passage of time, the grace of God worked in us, and it strengthened us. We have more endurance today to withstand the temptations and the hardships that come our way. We don't quickly give up and throw in the towel and say, what's the use? But now we keep pressing onward, reaching for the goal that is before us, the prize of the high calling. How can we do that? It's because God's grace strengthens us for the things that come our way. Oh yes, life will knock us down. Repeatedly, it will knock us down. How many times have we seen people go through things that we wondered within ourselves, how will they ever make it? This will be all that they can endure, and they'll not be able to withstand this. This will drive them mad. This will drive them crazy. It will finish them off. They can't make it from here. But yet all of a sudden there was something that came not from within themselves as far as their own ability. They couldn't just have a positive attitude and override these things that had come. There had to be something supernatural that began to work within them. And that supernatural work was the grace of God that little by little gave them strength until they overcame the thing that knocked them down to where they could rise up on their feet once again and walk in the strength of God. The strengthening grace of God does that for us. There is never a shortage of God's grace, and that's a good thing, because in our weakness, our strength, oh, thank God, our strength is made perfect. If we were to take that portion of God's scripture and rewrite it into a more modern day vernacular, it would probably read like this: my power is, or in other words, my power is being made perfect in your weakness. I'll be the first to tell you today, we cannot get by on our own. We need something beyond ourselves to help us with the things of this life that we find ourselves contending with. Thank God the grace of God is working daily in our lives to strengthen us for the world that we're living in. It is not our strength. If it was, it could quickly be lost. But you see, it's the strength of God that comes through His grace. Daily He is working strength into our lives, and we find ourselves becoming stronger and stronger in Him. Oh, I'm out of time today, but I hope that you will depend upon the grace of God to be there to help you with every struggle that you're going through today. I just feel like telling somebody that the answer that you're looking for is not to be found around you. It's to be found within you when you listen to that still small voice that is speaking to you to let you know one more time, the grace of God is sufficient to help you with every struggle of your life. Oh, thank God His grace helps us to be forgiven from the most horrible of sin, from the very smallest offense to the greatest offense. It's the grace of God. There is nobody today that cannot be saved by God's grace. It is sufficient. But it's also good news that once we come to God and we become one of His own, that His grace is also sufficient to help us with every need of everyday living. I want to pray for you today before we leave. Heavenly Father, You know those today that need to experience one more time the unmerited favor of God. Lord, I pray for those that even have a twinge of hope, that desire to feel the grace of God, that You would respond quickly to their lives today and begin to let them know that You are there to help them with all that they are contending with. Oh, Lord, be glorified today through the moving of Your grace within every life that is needing it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
There is a blood that cost a life, that paid my way, death its price. When it flowed down from the cross, my sins were gone, my sins forgot. There is a grave that tried to hide this precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days He breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come tell you He's alive, to tell you that He dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that He saves, to shout and to proclaim that He's coming back for you. Oh, there is a blood, and it sights the blind. It heals the sick, the lonely finds. Oh, it has power to free the bound, as chains they fall upon the ground. So pour it out and cleanse my soul, and let its liquid glory flow. Because it lives to make me whole. I owe my life, I owe my all. Tell you that He drives Precious blood that gave me life. But in 3 days he breathed again and rose to stand in my defense. So I come to tell He's alive to tell you that he dries every tear that falls. So I come to tell you that he saves, to shout and to proclaim that he's coming back for you.
In the haven of rest, I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore.